That's why I'm like, 5 minutes? What the hell are you going to do in 5 minutes? I'm going to calm down by then. Okay. Let's start it off. Let's start it off. Okay.
Sci-fi party line.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat. Today, I have with me your other hostess, Hanako. Yeah. You said something's wrong here. Yeah, something's wrong. We just watched the second to last of Supernatural, and
let me tell y'all. So, I watched the episode on Thursday. And I messaged Kat. I'm like, okay, are you watching it tonight? Are we going to record later on tonight? And she has to watch it on the app, which is not available until Friday. And then, of course, Friday, she had like a really hellish work day. So she's like, okay, until tomorrow. So she messages me this afternoon. She's like, okay, I'm getting into it now. And about 10 minutes later, I started my rewatch. I was like, okay, well, if she's rewatching it, let me rewatch it. So like literally 10 minutes ago, I get a text message from her, and she was like, we should record this instant. And I'm like, are you done? I'm at the part where such and such. She was like, no, we need to record now. Like, can we please? So I'm sitting here cracking up because I'm like, now you see why I've been chomping at the bit since Thursday trying to record.
I knew this would happen. That's why I've been prolonging it. I just knew it would happen. So I was just like, I was gonna like wait for tonight because like I got stuff to do, but I knew if I watched it in the middle of the day, I wasn't gonna do that stuff. Stuff's not gonna get done. So, you know, whatever. Okay, oh my God. So my immediate reaction afterwards, I was crying. I felt like lost, like my stomach was like with butterflies, and I'm like, how can I be responded this way to a TV show?
So let me ask you. Were your fears not realized? Like, you were so scared that they were going to mess this up. And even though this is not the finale, it literally felt like and I think the way that they described it on Twitter is, this episode was the season finale, and then next week will be the series finale. So, you were concerned about whether or not they were going to mess things up, whether they were going to end the story in a way that you didn't like. So, have those fears now been alleviated? Like, do you feel satisfied with the way that this episode ended?
Yes and no. Okay. So the yes comes from my immediate response of seeing Lucifer, seeing Adam but as Michael, seeing the whole story wrap up, a dog happened. I knew something was going on with Jack, but I didn't know that was going on with Jack. And Jack was kind of soaking up powers, whatever. And Jack ended up being taking powers over from Chuck God. And then Chuck just ended up being human, blah, blah, blah. Immediately, my immediate reaction was, okay, this is why Jack stuck around. This is satisfying. You know, I felt satisfied. However, I really felt that should have been Castiel. I really felt that after all the work Castiel has done, after everything Castiel has been through in the show, for him to just die off, I felt like Jack Too New should have died off and that Castiel should have been the one doing this. I think that was a really big mistake. I felt like, while the actor is awesome, Jack, the actor for Jack is awesome, I think they tried to force the character on us in a way that, I mean, Castiel wasn't even supposed to be a main cast member. And he, a testament to his acting skill and to his character, he got brought on. He wasn't supposed to be in there, you know? And so I feel like with everything he's been through, he's actually tried to be God. He's like fought for heaven. He's just done a lot. And for Jack to kind of come in and just be that guy, mm-hmm. I felt like it took a lot away from Castiel, the character. However, I'm not angry with it. I think if Jack is okay in the story, that it was fair that Jack Wow. All right. Is that the Impala out there?
No.
Well, I felt like Jack, if, you know, we had to, you know, come to terms with this character, he's going to be there whether we like it or not. This is a suitable job for him because, like he said, he saw humanity. He got to be human. He got to be powerful. He got to see God's favorite toys, Dean and Sam. He got to see what they were fighting for. So he is in the best position if Castiel is not left to take over that mantle and be, air quote, God.
Okay. And that's a fair assessment. I kind of have a different look on it. Mainly going back to, okay, so we've always alluded, literally since Jack has been here, we've always alluded to the guys being his three dads. And as far as the Castiel versus Jack thing, I kind of feel like everything that Castiel did, if you look at it from the terms of parenthood, we always want our children to become better than what we are, to okay. do greater things than us. Okay. And I feel like the writers kind of did that with Castiel and Jack. Like Castiel, yeah, he did all of this. He did all of these things and he became all of these things to the Winchesters. And in that, when Jack came along, he was able to have that positive influence on Jack. Because think about it, Jack is a Nephilim. He's the son of Lucifer. And when this storyline started out, like Dean and Sam were determined to kill him before sight because they didn't know what he was going to become. They just knew he was the son of Lucifer. He was supposed to be like hell's second coming. And Castiel's influence is what changed all of that. So everything that Castiel has done up to this point, including sacrificing himself for Dean, I think was a way for Jack to see, okay, there are parts of this world that are worth saving. There are things in this world that are worth saving. And for him to be able to take those lessons that he learned from Castiel and from the Winchesters as well, because you have to think about it, he has good and negative experiences with both of them. I mean, with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to see the balance now. He's able to see what the right can do and what the wrong can do. And now I think he has enough knowledge to kind of separate that and to use that to do what God is supposed to do as far as looking over humanity, as far as passing fair judgment and that sort of thing. So I look at it as Castiel did what he was supposed to do, and now Jack can take from his example and become the better person, become the better parent. He can try to do this job right without the flaws that Castiel had, you know, from his history of first being a soldier for God, being an angel of God, and going through everything that the angels did. Because think about it, when we were first introduced to the angels, we realized these angels are not the way that they have been portrayed to us.
They were dicks.
Right. Through modern religion. So Cash had a little bit of that contamination in him, but he learned to overcome that as well when he started to blend with humanity, when he started to be a part of humanity. And so now I feel like Jack can take that example and be a better God. So in that sense, I don't feel like Castiel's storyline was wasted. I don't, you know, I would have liked to have for him to have made it all the way through. To the end to, you know, to see the result of this. But I feel like the story ended the way that it should have. And I'm very satisfied with it. And I told you Jack served a greater purpose. So I feel rub that in your face.
It felt forced. But in its forcedness, it felt satisfying. I really enjoyed how Chuck did the full takedown and left, you know, Dean and Sam roaming the earth with no one else, even took the damn dog away, which I don't know. For some reason, that bothered the hell out of me. I was just like, God damn it. It's like, you can't even give him a dog.
Dean's expression broke me because he was just like, I mean, when he found the dog, the look on his face, it was like they've Christmas. Had all of this stuff, and then he hears the dog and he turns around. He's just got this, like, he has the expression of a little kid in a like, oh my God. And it was the sweetest thing to see. And then for Chuck to come by and take that so callously, it's kind of like,
and stand there looking like what?
Like, I really wanted to reach through the TV screen and punch him in the face.
Oh my God. And I thought, Chuck, like a serial killer who is acting out, go with me on this for a second. Mm-hmm. How serial killers kind of leave calling cards and they get sloppy and stuff because they want to get caught. I think Chuck knew that he was going off the deep end and he wanted to become human. You know what I mean? I felt like this was the perfect thing for him. And I was really satisfied with Dean and Sam ended up not killing him. I thought of course you could see it coming. However, the way it played out, it was still satisfying to see that. Yeah, because it's like for this whole time, they didn't ever want to be killers. They don't want to do the job that they've been set forth to do. They don't. They don't take joy in taking any form of any life at all. They're just doing a job because they have to, because they know it's the right thing to do. And here in this is especially Dean, because he had a hard on for killing Chuck this whole time. For him to know, like, without even a long discussion with Sam, without Sam holding him back, he just knew. This is what you get.
This is not who we are. And I felt like in that moment, that was Dean acknowledging that everything they had done up to this point was because Chuck was pulling the strings. And at this point, they could finally be free and say, you know what? I know you're expecting us to kill you. That's what you want. And that will still play into your, you know, what you want from us, or, you know, your entertainment. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give you that. He was like, this is not who we are. And I think it was like at that moment, that was when Dean decided, game is over. I don't have to do anything you expect me to do anymore. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do anymore. Yes, I would like to kill you, but this punishment will be so much worse. And this, you know, that person that I was is no longer who I am. It's almost like once Chuck beat the shit out of them, and Jack got all of that energy, it's kind of like Chuck was beating out the last connection he had to them.
That's good.
How I looked at it. Like, as he was sitting there beating them and they kept getting up, it's kind of like they were fraying that thread. And as soon as that thread was cut, it was like, oh, we don't have to do this anymore. And it's just, you know, human nature. Especially, I mean, if you think about it, like some proponents, when you think about capital punishment, some people are like, oh, no, they deserve it. They deserve to die. And then you have the other people who are not compassionate, but they're like, no, why would we want to give them that quick release from the guilt of what they've done? No, let them live. Let them sit behind bars and let them suffer. Let them have all of this time to think and reflect on what they've done. And I feel like that's the kind of death sentence that Dean has given Chuck. It's like, yeah, you're going to be human. You have no powers. You have nobody who cares about you, because Amara is not even a part of him anymore. Mm. It's a part of Jack. So you literally have nobody who cares about you. You just killed the last two sons that you had. Nobody cares about you. Or, you know, he didn't kill Lucifer, but I mean, him sending Lucifer to do his bidding ended up with Lucifer dead. So mm-hmm. You don't have anybody who cares about you now. So you're going to walk around and you're going to be human and you're going to grow old and then you're going to die and nobody's going to care. Who's going to write an obituary for a quote unquote washed up writer? Because I mean, think about it.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
You know, he's still a writer, you know, yeah. Who wrote the supernatural novels, but at this point, nobody's going to care. Considering the people that knew who you were and how you played into this story, they're all gone too. Like, we know that Jack brought back everybody, but we don't know how much of everybody that entails. Does that include everybody that Chuck got rid of this season when he came back and decided to do this? So, like, is Becky and her family still gone?
I don't know. They kept that open, and I don't like that, because if Castiel died in service of this whole fight, is he back? Like, I don't know.
I think with him being in the empty, I don't think he would come back, especially since Lucifer basically said that that the empty killed death. I think maybe Castiel is trapped, and Castiel is probably happy to be trapped because he died happy knowing what he was sacrificing his life for. So I don't think that he would come back for that. Now, I don't know. We still have one more episode, so he may show up at the end.
You were sure last week he wasn't coming back. But you know what? When they tricked me, when I heard his voice, I was like, I knew it. And then it was Lucifer. But I was kind of happy to see Lucifer, which is weird coming out of my mouth. Happy to see Lucifer.
No, because I like that character. But yeah, when I heard Cass's voice, when I tell you, I almost started crying. And then when Dean opens the door, the look on his face.
It was stressful. I was just like, God damn it, why are they messing with me like this?
It was stressful, but at the same time, some of the episode was it was funnier than I expected it to be.
True.
Like all gloom and doom, and of course, like you said, we got the little bit of the dog, and that was cute.
Happy to see a dog,
right? And then Lucifer,
which is weird,
and not only Lucifer coming in being the smart asshole that he is. I was dying.
He was on it. Like, he was on fire in that episode. Well, but Mark Pellegrino was just a joy to watch move him in that space. He was just...
It was so funny. Just his little... He was like, you know, or you can come hang with Gramps and me and be on the winning team. He was just so funny. And then, of course, he brought the Reaper in, and he's just being like... They're sitting there like, okay, he's like, it's a Reaper. And they're like, okay, what? Because I think at this point... And it's so funny because the Reaper was like, oh, they're not all that bright. And it's like, no, it's not that they're not all that bright. They're like in shock. They're like, at this point, they're still trying to figure out what's going on. And then, of course, we know at this point that they kind of have an idea of what's going on with Jack, but they're not exactly sure yet. So I think at this point, they're just kind of like, okay, explain it to me like I'm a 3-year-old. Because I've got so much stuff going on in my brain right now, I'm just not following, because that's how I felt. Because when he said that, I was like, why is he bringing us a new Reaper 2 episodes before the end? Like, what's the point?
Number one, number two. I thought, well, like, where did the Reaper come? Why didn't he just dig up a Reaper?
This too.
Number one. And then, so, okay, he figured out. I mean, he just came in firing on all pistons. He's like, knew a Reaper. Got a Reaper, brought a Reaper with him, killed a Reaper because he knew death hasn't, a Reaper hasn't died since death died. Got the Reaper to open the book. Didn't know that once you open the book remains open and other people can see it, including Sam. But when other people look at it, it's blank, which kind of, I don't know, was weird for me.
But I don't think Sam could actually see it once the new death was dead. I think he saw a little bit of it when she opened it, she had it in her hands. I think that's when Dean said that he might have noticed a couple of symbols. And then I think
it was fake. He never saw it, right? Because the spell was fake. That's why. Okay.
Right. And then when they went to the flashback and they showed him moving the pages were all blank.
You're right.
So it's kind of like, oh, okay. So at this point, they were going on their plan B. This was like, okay, if plan A doesn't work, this is what we do with plan B. And of course, once they saw Michael and Lucifer interacting, they were like, okay, Michael seems a little bit too jealous about the fact that Lucifer is... So
I was hoping he wasn't gonna do that. It was a very sad end to Adam. But
I mean, technically speaking, it wasn't Adam. So
yes, I know.
Because if you think about it, Michael throughout the series, like since the early days when we were first introduced to him as an archangel, Michael on our Earth and Michael from Apocalypse Earth, both of them were assholes, so I kind of feel like he got what he deserves. But yes,
I'm not shedding a tear for Michael.
Yeah, I did. I did hate that we didn't get to see Adam again. And like Dean even said, he was like, that poor bastard never, you know.
Poor thing, yeah.
You know.
Just going through it.
Right. But I was glad to see, like, I'm glad that they were able to bring back a lot of the past actors in a way that made sense for the story. Like, you know, bringing them back just for the sake of bringing them back, if it didn't make sense to the storyline, that would have felt weird. But I like the way that they did this. And then the ones that they weren't able to bring back, they include, for the most part, they included in that really beautiful montage at the end of the show.
That brings me to another fear. Sorry to cut you off. Mm-hmm. But the fear that I had that the last episode was just going to be a clip show of them doing like memories and shit. But the fact that they did it right now in this mm-hmm. episode, I was like, okay, well, maybe we're going to get an actual episode and not a, oh, remember when, blah, blah, blah. And then we do a flashback clip show, which would piss me off.
No, I think the first half of the 2 hours is supposed to be something similar to that. It's basically like a goodbye show. So they're going to have like interviews with the cast.
Right, right. You told me.
And probably talk about the evolution of the show through the 15th season. So that's supposed to be the first half of the story of the 2 hour finale. And then I think the last half of the 2 hour finale is supposed to be an actual series finale, plot wise, show wise, that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm good with that. The only thing, you know, and we've had, there have been some conversations about this on Twitter. So when they did the montage, like the montage really brought me to tears because we got to see all of the people that we lost, like Dean said, but they missed out two very notable people that Ash. They missed Ash. And, you know, a lot of people have been, like, tweeting Chad Lindbergh, like, did we miss Ash? And he was like, no, he wasn't included. Not, you know, I even responded. I was like, I really hope that that was an accidental oversight, you know, because, I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of people who have figured majorly into the Winchester story over the last 15 years. So, you know, I'm hoping that that was just like a minor, you know.
Was Ellen and Joe? I didn't remember seeing them.
Ellen and Joe were in it, but they also left Benny out, which I think was bad because that was like, that seems like buddy.
Yeah.
I watched the clip again last night just because I wanted to see the montage because I was like, I feel like they missed somebody else. I went through the montage and I'm starting to name off names and I'm like, okay, this person, that person, that person, that person. Oh, they brought that person back and this, that, and the other. And then I noticed that in addition to Ash, they didn't have Benny. So that made me sad because I was like, oh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Was Dick Roman in there?
He was.
Okay.
All right.
And you know, I saw people from that season that I missed that I didn't watch. And I'm like, who are these people? I was just like, damn. And I was like almost wanting to go back and watch it just to see. And I was just like, I can't do it. Maybe not now. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, you should go back and watch because even the seasons where we felt like the story was getting kind of old or, you know, where we weren't all because a lot of people, you know, just in the last few weeks participating in panels and seeing how people have been talking, a lot of people feel like right around season six, between seasons 5 and 8, like everybody had their favorite and everybody had their not so favorite seasons within that little time frame. So I don't think it's just us. I think everybody feels like the show started kind of getting stale a little bit in there. And then, like we said a few years back, it seems like the show kind of revitalized itself. They found a way to get fresh and stay fresh and get things interesting and moving again. And they literally, like, since that mid show run, it's been kind of like it's been on the up and up ever since, at least as far as I'm concerned. So, so I would say go back and watch it because even in those slow seasons, there were some good episodes in between, even though, you know, like I know Dick Roman was not a favorite character of yours and the whole Leviathan storyline was not a favorite. For me, it got to a point where the heaven versus hell storyline just kind of started to drag on a little bit too much. So, yeah. You know, we all have those seasons where we're like, oh, okay, I can really do without this one. But there's always some gems within that season. I mean, you can't go a whole 23-episode season and not find more than a few episodes to like. Because if that was the case, they would have been canceled at that point, I think. So,
yeah.
But it was, I mean, the whole thing about Jack when we looked at the last episode and we saw that he put his hand over a plant and the plant died, we were thinking initially, okay, is he going to be the new death like his, and we find out in this episode that it's not that he's killing the plants, he's siphoning the power out of everything else, he's siphoning the energy.
Even plants, geez, that's right. Weird.
And then they said when Michael and Lucifer started fighting and started like throwing all of their little energy around, Jack was absorbing all of the energy. And then when Chuck was wailing on the Winchesters at the end, he was getting all of that energy too. And I thought, this is such a great way to put Jack back in the position where he needs to, because I was sitting there wondering, like, Jack has no powers now. What is he going to do?
Yeah, like, he's just standing around. I was right. What is happening?
Siphoning, but okay, let me tell you. So I know that they had to do this in order for Jack to get the necessary power and energy to defeat Chuck, but watching Chuck beat up on the Winchesters is probably the thing that has pissed me off the most in this show ever. Like, you've already taken everything from them, you've taken people away from them, and you're doing it gleefully without regret, and you're doing it just because they're not doing what you want to do. And then for the story writers to go in and put that Chuck is powerful enough to whoop both of the Winchesters' asses that way. Like, he was breaking limbs and there. I was so
He's
mad.
Literally God, though. So, I mean, it made sense. My thing was, I really loved that they kept getting up. Loved that.
I love that. Because
that was my shit.
That's the Winchester spirit. Like, they may have their moments of doubt. They have their moments where they feel like they want to give up. But at the end, when it really counted, they were like, oh, no, you're not taking us down that easily. And they kept getting up. And then when Dean couldn't get up, Sam helped him. When Sam reached over and grabbed him and stood him up and they both looked at Chuck, I literally, at that moment, burst into tears. I was like, this is what.
Yeah, I was just like.
I was like,
I went through a lot in that episode.
Oh my God.
And then I started questioning with my sanity. I was like, you know, am I getting older? Because this is not supposed to be so emotional. Why am I having knots in my stomach and I'm getting tears and I just feel so, I feel so on edge and sensitive. What is happening?
So here's my thing. If we start like this with this week's episode, I'm going to be an absolute mess next week. I already know.
You know anybody who worked for an airport? I need a ticket.
Actually, I do. So we might have to.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Because I was like, now that I floated the idea to be in Atlanta next week, I kind of want to go, dude.
Yes, come hang with me.
I do, but I'm just like, my money's weird right now.
We'll figure it out.
But because I would like have my shirt. I only got the one.
That's okay. That's the only one we need.
That's
the only one we need. I have been trying to find the matching pajama pants online, and Hot Topic is sold out of every size except for extra small and small.
Okay. That's just not working for us chunky Southern girls.
No, it's definitely not. But yeah, we need to find a way to make this happen, because it was, you know, I've done like viewing parties for series finales, or, you know, we've done stuff like that for movies where we're together with our friends, and we just don't get the opportunity to do that now because of COVID. But that was so awesome to be able to do that.
I mean, I haven't caught it yet, so.
Yeah.
And then I looked at trains. It's like 13 hours. I was like, I can't do that shit. Nope. I'm not a train ride. I'm not doing that. That's It's too long.
Well, we're going to figure out a way to get this done.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
That would be so awesome. But yeah, this episode, I think we're doing more of a reaction podcast instead of a review. Cause I mean, pretty much anybody who's going to be listening to this particular episode of the show, I think they've watched the show. So they know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. We don't need all that. Yeah. I mean, a recap, come on.
It was just, it was very emotional. It was very, very sad. I mean, just the way that Chuck, I mean, it was so satisfying. Then it's so funny because, you know, like we've said, Dean and Sam have pretty much been controlled by Chuck. And Dean even admitted that, you know, in the last episode, after he pulled the gun on Sam, he was like, I was so focused on beating Chuck that I just couldn't get my mind out of it. And I think that also translated into how he treated Jack, because like I said, we saw from the beginning he treated Jack like family. And then of course there was the issues after Jack killed Mary, but again, Jack didn't have a soul at the time. He couldn't control what was going on with him. And I think eventually all of them realized that, and they kind of, I won't say they forgive him, but they kind of understand that it wasn't anything that was entirely his fault. And I think Dean has kind of been on the fence about, okay, do we embrace him again as family, or do I keep him at arm's length? And I think at this point, Dean had been keeping him at arm's length, not just because of what happened with Mary, but because of what Jack meant to the end game. You know, like,
he had to go. Yeah.
He had to die in order for all of this to stop. And at that point, I mean, when you're 30 something years old and this is all you've ever known, and you know that your life has been completely controlled by an entity, I guess at some point you kind of like, okay, whatever we have to do to break this, which I'm sure he felt some conflict about, but of course you can't voice doubts when you have to do something so big, because other than that, you may not go through with it. Kind of like what happened with Sam once Sam realized the true intent of Billy and what all of that would mean. So to see him in this episode after Jack got his God power, took God's power away and everything, Dean is like, hey, he can have anything he wants. Yeah. Let's take him home. You can get a big
screen.
I mean, it was like seeing Dean this carefree is something I don't think we've seen ever. Like, we've seen Dean happy. We've seen him silly. We've seen him, you know, joyful, but not to this extent. And the fact that whole burden, once he told Chuck, oh yeah, we're not going to kill you. This is going to be your end. And they were able to walk away from him. I felt like the whole world was lifted off of his shoulders.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, Jack, buddy, you know, it was kind of like, okay, I can fully embrace you as being part of this family again, because I don't have anything else to worry about. And then for Jack to be like, I'm not coming home. I have to, you know, it was sad. But at the same time, I mean, you can't expect God to go live in the bunker, you know? So
he could have gave him a transition period.
And I have a feeling that's not the last time they're going to see Jack. You know, I think they'll still see him. I mean, they saw, even when Castiel was living in heaven, they still saw him from time to time. And I think Jack, you know, they are important enough to Jack that he's not going to be out of their everyday lives. But it's just, you know, now he has a higher purpose and he has to set about doing that higher purpose. And that includes learning what it is that, you know, he's responsible now for the entire world. So I think at this point now he has to kind of learn what's going on, what's been neglected, and try to figure out how to bring some peace or how to bring some balance. Let me say that. He needs to learn how to bring some balance.
But he said he was going to be like on non-interference, like he wasn't going to interfere. So that scared me a little. And Dean made a face when he said that as well. So to me, that's like, what does that mean exactly? So we're going to still have poverty and all the other stuff due to people's choices, or was that something that Chuck manipulated and maybe something normal will happen? Like,
what does it mean that he's going to be on non-interference, Jack? I mean, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we won't, but.
Well, we may. We don't, because, I mean, think about it. The next episode could be, you know, there could be a time jump in that episode. You know, we might see what the Winchesters are doing 5 years down the road. I mean, it's probably not, but, I mean, we never know. Like, maybe we'll get an episode and it's 5 years down the road. Maybe Sam and Dean are both married with families. That will be.
Girl, would you stop it? Would you stop it? Oh, my God. Saying, just stop.
We don't know what this final episode is going to be, but we all, I mean, I think everybody pretty much agrees the episode that we just saw was pretty much a finale. It felt like a finale. It satisfied like a finale. Like, we've been saying it will be great joy for us if at the end Sam and Dean could just ride off into the sunset and be happy. And that's literally what we got at the end of this episode.
We also said we wanted them to kind of die and revisit everybody and see everybody that they've ever loved in the show, kind of like a little powwow in the same room or something, maybe. Or you remember that season where they went to heaven and everybody had their own room and people were like, Bobby was up there and he had his room and he had everybody come in the hallway or something like that. Yeah. I just really thought that this series would end with them dying and seeing everybody they loved, or at least a lot of them in the same room. You know what I mean? But
them riding off into the sunset.
Yeah. I'm good with it too.
Because they didn't have to die, and I'm glad for that. Like, I was fully prepared to accept they had to die.
Right.
I was prepared for that. But the fact that now they don't have to, like, they didn't have to die in order to defeat Chuck. They didn't even have to kill in order to defeat Chuck. I'm actually very happy with that.
Yeah. So, it's true.
You know, it's kind of like, and two, you know, when I think back, you remember that, Dean was able to go to heaven after Mary died. You know, they were trying to put her soul back into her body and they couldn't find her soul. And Dean went to heaven and saw, you know, he went into the room and she and John were in there and they were together and they were happy. We didn't see it, but he saw it and he came back and said, I saw her. She's with Dad and she's happy. So, you know, that was when he decided, okay, we shouldn't try to bring her back. From that, you know, because she's happy where she is. You know, even when she came back from death the first time, she was happy to be alive, but it was a struggle for her too. Like, how do you adjust to a new world 33 years later? So after thinking about that, I'm like, okay, it still would be nice if they were able to see, like you said, Mary or John or just those people who have left, but I like this too. Now, my other question is, I wonder, did the people who Chuck made vanish before he killed pretty much the whole world, are they going to come back? Like the people who were in the safe house with Sam, like,
yeah.
Will we see Charlie come back? Will we see Bobby come back? Will we see those particular characters be brought
back? And what about the rest of the worlds? Will they come back?
We'll see that I don't know.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they explain any of that to us. But even if they don't, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Satisfied. Like,
I'm fine with it.
I don't think there was anything about this episode that I disliked. I don't think there was anything I felt like there were unanswered questions to. And then, you know, the way that they went back and explained how Jack was able to get this power, it made a lot of sense. I think the only discrepancy I may have saw that I questioned was when Sam and Dean were in the diner and Jack was walking and the energy was transferring from the plants. I was kind of like, that scene doesn't match up to what we saw, because when Jack walked into the diner, Dean was getting a beer and Sam was faced to the left to another.
Oh, girls, species. Calm down.
But I was like, okay, maybe I'm reading too much into this.
Because I'm like, what? I didn't even.
I noticed it when I did my second rewatch. I was like, that's not. But then, I mean, we don't know how long it took Jack to walk in the building. They could have seen what they saw and like gone to separate, you know, separate corners to kind of contemplate that. So I'm like, okay. But that's the only real thing that I would have looked at that episode and been like, everything else.
Yeah, I don't, that wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't get everything that I wanted per se, but this was still satisfying. So, like, I mean, I keep saying that over and over. I agree with you. It was not a Game of Thrones ending, let me tell you, but we still got one more episode to go, so.
No, they're not going to, like I said, they're not going to disappoint us like that, because these showrunners and these writers, I feel like, are as much a part of the fandom as anybody else. Yeah. And they understand how important this show is to a lot of people, how important this show is to Jared and Jensen. And I just honestly feel like this is one of those shows that's not going to give us bullshit to close out, because you can't do that with 15 seasons. Like, go through the downs, the highs and lows, be on this plateau and decide to end your show being at the top of your game and then give us a bullshit ending. That's not like, at least with Game of Thrones, like that whole season, that whole final season, like it started off strong and then it got weird. Like,
what is the word weird?
I don't even, because I don't want to say it. There were certain aspects of that final season that I did like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people weren't happy with much of the ending. I'm not happy at all with the way Daenerys' story ended. Not at all.
Or Jon Snow's.
Well, that's the thing. I actually am satisfied with Jon Snow's
because
if you think about it, when Tormund told him, when Tormund asked him to come live beyond the wall, he was like, I would if I could. That's my greatest desire. Like, he wanted to live as a wildling. So I feel like Bran, quote unquote, banishing him to live beyond the wall, he did that because he knew that's what Jon wanted. So that didn't bother me. Nothing about the Starks bothered me, because I've been Team Stark from the beginning.
But he needed to unite the whole.
But there were certain things throughout that season where I was just kind of like, y'all just really don't give a fuck about story anymore. And I really don't feel like that's what Supernatural, like, they have stayed strong. Yeah. Consistently, you know, and like I said this earlier in one of our earlier shows, sometimes when a series is about to end, you can kind of feel it, because you can tell it in the way the actors come across. You can tell it in the way the story comes across. It's kind of like these people, because they know it's the end, they're trying to just get through it. And I never felt like that in this final season of Supernatural. Like, they've stayed consistently strong. They've consistently given us good story. They've consistently given us amazing acting, and just, you know, it's just felt great from start to finish. So I think for this final episode, they're going to continue that. They're going to give us a series finale that we as a fandom can be proud of, and that we can enjoy, even if we're crying our eyes out, you know, which I feel is going to happen. But
I was a wreck before, like 10 minutes before I called. I was just like, oh my God. And I don't even know. I'm like, why am I feeling this way?
Because it's like, I mean, think about it. We've been watching this show from its infancy. It is our teenage child now, and it is about to go off the world and become something. And I feel like that's just kind of how we all feel. It's like, Sam, we raised Sam and Dean. I feel it's like you're a proud parent watching your children graduate. That's kind of how I feel with this show. Like, they're about to graduate and go off into the world and do amazing new things. Like, have you seen the little promo for Walker?
I haven't yet. I've been so stressed.
So
it's not
even a big promo. It's just basically it's like a video of a little coin that's going across the screen, and the coin changed from like a wedding ring to a poker chip to a badge. And it basically is just a small voiceover. It's only like maybe 30 seconds. But I was like, oh, they're promoting his new show already, and that's cool. And then Jensen is about to go be on The Boys. And it's just like, yeah, like I said, I feel like we're watching these guys graduate from something that was monumental, something that was tremendous, something that was very important to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. And then now they're about to go out and like continue conquering the world. And, you know, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, it is. I remember when this show was just like the little show that kind of people felt like it was an afterthought. It was the, oh, by the way, yeah, I guess I'll watch that. Nothing else is on show. And
the letter writing campaigns to keep it on the air after season. I remember, you know, like I said, I went back and looked at the Sci-Fi Party Line website. And I was like, I was curious last night. I was like, how long have we been discussing this show? So we have been discussing this show since 2009 on Sci-Fi Party Line. It was like episode 23, I think, was the first. So we've been covering this show for a long, long time, and we have had so much fun doing so. I don't know if we're going to ever get another show like this that runs for as long, that we love as much, and I just don't know, but it has been so much fun doing this show.
Yeah. Yeah. It has. These guys.
I know.
Okay, well, wow. So I guess we'll just have to prepare for next week.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't even know if I'll survive it, because I felt so terrible before we started recording. I was just a mess. Okay, so I don't know.
Panicked text messages. She was like, "No, we have to record right now."
I was like, she was watching it. He's like, "Well, I'm watching my second end, and then Chuck is on the beach and blah blah." I was like, "What are you talking about? Let's do it now! What is wrong with you?"
I was like, "She was like, please." I'm like, "Okay, give me 5 minutes to go to the bathroom and get set up."
I was like, "Do you? What are you doing? Why are you taking us? You don't need to do that. Why you hold it? Let's talk." And then I calmed down. But I'm glad you waited, because I would have been sobbing. I was kind of, yeah, I was. All right, guys, I guess we'll wrap this one up.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. We're going to try to do this again next week, hopefully in person. We might actually put up a video and, you know, so you guys can see our swollen, red-eyed faces after we watch this
mascara run and the whole bit. You gotta break it out for the boys.
Right, right.
Yeah. All right, well, that's our show. You can give us a call at 773-336-2686. We have a website, scifipartyline.com. Hanako has a website, fandomhybrid.com, where she's doing her new podcast. Both podcasts are on Twitter and Facebook and Spotify, Apple, podcasts, Google, all of them. Yeah, so thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.